Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. One word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord, thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun, Lord, we walk to the end of thy ways and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Afternoon. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. I'm glad that you've joined the program today. Thank you for tuning in. So happy that I get this opportunity to express and to exhort those of you out there that are looking for a word from the Lord. Amen. I always start, first of all, with the same scripture for this program. It comes from 1 Corinthians 13:12. And I always read the amplified version of the text. Today I'm going to read both translations. This one's amplified, the first one. It is in verse 12. It says, "For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma, but then something happens after, you know, this dark cloud is that's hovering over our perception. He says, but then when the time of perfection comes, I believe the time of perfection is when we really get the revelation from God. We really get it. Takes a while sometimes, but we get it. We get it. It becomes more clear. It makes sense when it didn't make sense, when it was a riddle or an enigma. He says, but then. So there's a time of this dysfunction when you're in the dark. In the dark. And so I want to say right here, because I'm determined to speak this truth today and what's in my heart. There's a time when we make mistakes in the dark place of not knowing what God wants or what God's will is. I'm telling you that. And so I think I've had to mature through those types of things, whether it is with myself or with someone else, is that people make mistakes when they can't see God clearly. And with the scripture, it says, but then he clears up the questions, the confusion with revelation. With revelation, it may be from the Holy Ghost. It may be from dreams and visions. It may be from natural signs, natural proclivities. But he clears it up, and he doesn't leave you there in that dark glass. Thank you, Jesus. He says, but then, that's the time element there. And it says, when the time of perfection comes, there's a season of reality, a season of the truth, when that all of that is passed away and the ultimate truth is made plain. It says, when the time of perfection comes, we shall see reality. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that, because I've spent enough time in the dark glass. I have spent some time in the dark glass. And then it says, this is so important. He says, we shall see in reality face to face. You can't know God if you're not face to face. God says, I'm gonna talk to you and reveal to you face to face. It is something that I believe is old fashioned now to be face to face. I mean, we have so much that is a convenience. And when I tell you about convenience, you know, it's just not God. Unless it's not the right time and the season for it. But what is important is there's a time of intimacy. And I said before, I know you think, oh, those of you that think sexually, they're in an intimacy when you come face-to-face with God. Direct contact with God. And the way you do it is by studying his word, waiting on his revelation, acting on his revelation as soon as you know it. And when you know the revelation, that's what I'm going to talk about here with the program today, is when you know the revelation, you know the truth, it is incumbent that when you know the truth, you know it's a season, then you act. And so sometimes I'm going to say about the convenience of not being face-to-face. Sometimes, and I'm going to be honest with you, there's times I'm going to talk about emails and text and stuff like that, you know, with uncomfortable situations, those are escape routes, and that's good. But then there's a time when God says, no, this is reality right here. You got to do some real thing. And that's where face-to-face comes into play. And it says, now I know in part, just in fragments. So during that period of time, I've learned to grow up as God has told me. Grow up here, grow up. Because you know in part, just in fragments when you're in that dark glass. And you make mistakes. And it looks like you're confused. It looks like you don't know God. It looks like you're disobedient. But you still have a dark cloud over your vision spiritually, and you're trying to find God. Have you ever seen a vision of somebody groping in darkness? Groping? Say, for instance, someone's blindfolded. and blindfolded and groping for their surroundings and the reality of their surroundings, like a blind man walking down the street and just swinging his that guiding instrument until he can get his bearing. That's how it is. You're seeking out truth and getting it together so you can come face to face with God. And that includes humans too, huh? Ha ha ha. Let me tell the truth there. That includes humans too. Because if God instructed it, and that's the way God works, you know, we have to work the same as well. It says, but then I will know fully, growing up there, just as I have been fully known by God. And I have been reading the scripture for passages of scripture now. This is the fourth year I've been on this broadcast. And like I said, I believe one time I looked up and saw all of chapter 13. And so it's about growing up. It's about knowing God, growing up in the things of God, and growing up in our human relationship. It really is. And so we don't charge and judge when we are in the dark glass, getting to where God wants us to do. What we do is get into that season of perfection. You know, time changed today. The time changed today. And I was so confused this morning because I woke up, I looked at my clock. It says 6:40 something. And I'm thinking, wow, time changed. I was confused for a minute. And I said, wow, I gotta change my clocks. And I looked at my phone. It said the same time. I didn't look at my watch. I have a watch that if you touch it, it illuminates in the dark. And I didn't look at that. I didn't think of that. But I got up for my praise and prayer time. I said, what time really is it? And then I looked at my clock. I continued to look at my clock. I said, wow, time has changed already. I said, maybe it's tomorrow morning. Because I'm thinking, I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking at my clock. I said, something's wrong. I was confused for a moment because I was in that space of not knowing what was going on. But one thing happened. I remembered as I sat there, and even as I started to praise God and worship in my prayer time, I remembered. Do you know what I remembered? I have this clock. I know some of you have it too because it's new technology and now it's no big deal. But I have this clock that changes the time automatically. It changes the time automatically. So what I was looking at was the truth. It was really 6:40. I didn't have to set it back to 5:40 because let me tell you, I was going to jump back in the bed at that point. However, what happened was it really was 6:40. I got a little, as I began to pray, God, I got impressed. Then it came to me, wait a minute, you know your clock is more, the clock that automatically resets itself in daylight savings time. And so you see what? My confusion was cleared up. I communicated with God. He gave me a little revelation, a little knowledge that caused me to remember that I was really seeing the truth, the reality of it. The clock was saying the truth, and therefore you weren't going back to sleep. Now is the time of prayer. And so that same truth, it spills over, it should spill over when we are walking in the other areas of our life. And God is just like that. Seek Him for the truth. He will give it to you, and He'll forgive you for the mistakes and the confusions when you were in that time of darkness, a time of enigma or a riddle. And then you can move on to what God says. Now, today, I entitled the broadcast, Sir, with the S-I-R, Surviving with a Good Man. I almost want to call myself a professional bachelorette. And when I first encountered God, I remember hearing a message where God said, write down all the things you want from God, and you're saved, and God is able to bless. And, you know, I did that. I believe at the top of the list, I put a husband, a spiritual husband. I did that. And I guess I'm sharing this now. I've waited because I've been prophetically spoken to me that I would begin to speak to groups of women. And I believe that this is one of the subjects that I would cover, because we have so many women that are disappointed in the church, in the body and out of the body, out of the body of Christ, rather, about this one thing. And it causes we as women to be looked desperate, even if we're not. It causes us to have an expectation, that's a strong belief, even though it's not the time and the season. And we have to grow up in it and survive it, because most of the time the men are not enlightened to that truth, and women get disappointed all over again. But what I want to say, but I'm going to read my tags too before I get off and start talking about all of these things, because there's so much to say about the subject. When you really start talking about it, it can grab your emotions, and especially me, because I know I have been the 360 here. And to grow up in it is so blessed. The woman has to be, well, I'm going to say this. When you are an independent woman, you want to do a lot of things. And that's been my life pretty much. I believe I began as a young woman, 13 or 14 years old. Well, I'm going to start with, 9 years old when I started playing music. And growing into, you've been exposed to a lot of things. Your parents are instrumental in contributing to your independence. You don't grow up thinking, I got to get married. You don't. I know I didn't. I didn't grow up thinking, I have to get married in order to be, to exist. And I'm going to say this before I say anything further. And then I got saved. And, you know, everyone was speaking, well, you have to have a husband. If you're going to do this and that, you have to have a husband. Well, I wrote it down on my list, and I did have a strong belief, an expectancy about it, but it didn't take place. And then I grew up in that. I grew up to know that God made me, I will contribute it to my own growth in Christ, make myself happy, be content, and then I'll have to wait on God. Now, I didn't become that way overnight, and I'm getting to what I'm going to say in just a minute, why I say surviving with a good man. I didn't get that way overnight. Ladies, I'm talking to ladies, but I know men are listening. At least I hope you are. Had that disappointment phase where I was disappointed. Oh, this must be my husband, or this might be the one. A disappointment phase came early on in my walk with Christ, because everybody preached it. I mean, God is going to do this. Finally, I can recall one Saturday, and this was in the 90s now. This was in the 90s, early 90s. I can recall, and so this was shortly, not too long after I got saved. I can recall going through a drive-thru at McDonald's, just crying and boo-hooing. I was like, my husband isn't here yet. I put him at the top of the list. And just being totally upset. And something gripped me that day where I was determined. I didn't go out of it right away because, like I said, I've been used to this independent spirit. I graduated. I was working at 14. I was working at 15. I was working at 16. And guess what? I'm going to tell you something. By the time I was, I'm going to say 18 or 19, I didn't have to work anymore. It wasn't because of me. It was because my father was very blessed. He was very blessed. And I didn't have to work anymore. But I made a decision because of my independent spirit. I hadn't gotten saved yet. I was trained to be independent. And I kept working. And I said, everybody would say, wow, you're so crazy. You're still working, and your dad has all that money. My dad had bought me a new car. I had everything I wanted, every bill paid, and guess what? I continued to work. I wanted to work. And that was the type of independent spirit I had. Even before I got to that point, I graduated from the 11th grade, 17 years old. I'm telling you this. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you this to let you know that God can instill in women, and they have it, an independent spirit. My point is this. There gets to be a time where you can only survive with a good man. Because there's that coming together. You have to come together with your mate or with the man that God appoints for you in order to continue on the journey that God has for you. And that's why I put survival. And if you know anything about me, I always see these words. And I would tell you, I had prepared for this broadcast. I started preparing last week. And today, as I sat down to schedule the broadcast, actually via the studio, I saw this word, survival. Wait a minute here. Let me review this scripture. What are you saying? Now, it took a minute for me to see what God was saying, but I want to get this out, even if I have to go to the next broadcast. The independent woman, well, the independent woman has to be independent if she has no covering, if she has no mate, no husband. She has to be. She has to have an independent nature, or she will suffer over and over again. And so when God grooms that independent spirit in the woman, there's a time, though, when she is to be joined to another, and her survival is going to depend on it. I'm going to tell you why. Because she's so accustomed to doing things on her own, to making her own decisions, to going forward with her own revelation, that she has to be, there has to be a transition or transformation where the woman is going to come together with her mate based on her survival. It is, you know, people like to say unkind things during this time. They'll say, oh, she's a whore. She's a whore. Oh, she's a whore. She's a whore. No, it is not that she's a whore. In most instances where God is involved, it is that that woman is coming to a place where she has to submit and subject herself to her husband. Hello. And so while you're making these accusations, oh, she's a whore, God is doing things in her life. I mean, you can have the rug pulled from under you. I know I have had the rug pulled from under you, and you're thinking, my God, what have I done, God? What am I doing wrong? Well, it's your independence, lady. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't continue to be independent. You still have your own strength, your own independent ways, but you're going to, in anticipation of a covenant relationship, you're going to be joined with another. Okay, that I said all that. Now, I'm going to talk about Sarah in a minute, because what God joined her to, she got her husband, okay, that's settled, even though the attempt by Abram was to even break that down and to disrupt that. But, well, let me read my text, because I understand I'm looking right at my board here and I have 6 minutes left. I'm going to read my text, because I sense now that I'm going to have to keep my promise to go into this next week. I've saved my notes from last week, but I'm going to read my text here. My text, number one, bearing children is a covenant partnership, just like the covenant partnership of marriage. And like I told you, with Abram and Sarah, way over in, was it 13, chapter 13, what God has ordained for you is going to be for you. Abram tried to give Sarai away when he went into Egypt. And Pharaoh, he tried to pretend it was his sister. And so you know the story that Sarai was returned to Abraham. I believe, like I said, God had been talking to Abram about these descendants and heirs, and he looked at Sarah and said, wait a minute here. I know it can't be through you. You're too old. It's going to have to be through someone else. And so I don't know if it was through innocence, or he creates the story of her being his sister and so forth. You know that story. But let me finish reading the text. Bearing children is a covenant partnership, just like the covenant partnership of marriage. This is the second principle. God educated Abram about the covenant partnership and about bearing a son from his own flesh, I believe that is. Sarai wanted to break the covenant partnership to bear the child of their own flesh to be, and I can't finish reading that tag there. I believe it's to have a surrogate instead. I can't read the end of the sentence. The man is the ultimate enforcer of the promise that God gives. The man should be the protector of the covenant blessings that God promises. That should not have promise that God promises. If the woman fails to fulfill her covenant role as a helpmate, then there could be consequences. There comes a time when there is an anticipation of covenant partnership, relationship, that God has to minimize for a moment. I say for a moment, minimize the woman's independence so that she can join herself with the person that she is ordained to be with. It is not an easy process. It is not. It's painful. It is as painful as achieving independence when you believe you're supposed to be married. Both of them are very painful transitions. And so here what we have is a convenience that comes along by Sarah. Now, she has submitted herself, I believe, to every situation so far that Abram has caused. And I did say survival because the man, in the things of God, I know we've gotten to the point where we think we all that. But if God says the man is the head, and he is, I can't go into all the scriptures about it, but it looks like here that Abram, just like Adam in the Garden of Eden, heard God's voice, received instructions from God, and allowed the woman to talk him out of it. Allowed the woman to talk him out of it. Now, I applaud that for one reason. The man loved, I assume, that Adam and Abram loved their wives respectively so much that they listened to their wives. That's the good part. The bad news is when God speaks a word and you know it's God, you must obey that word. And then even they say, well, the woman is the weaker vessel. Now, being the woman I am, I hate to think of that. I don't want to believe that. But when that weaker vessel starts talking to you, you should enforce your authority as a man in the relationship. And what I see today is that we have so many turned upside down households and relationships because the women are acting as a head and the men are following the women. But then, like I said, there is that time when the transition comes, when the man has to do what God says over what his wife says. And if you don't, and then God conditions, I'm jumping, God conditions sometimes the wife, the survival of the wife upon that man. Now, I called him, I said good man here. I wanted to relabel it godly man. Why? He's in relationship, right relationship with God. He's his wife, and he makes a decision to listen to his wife over that what God has told him. Now, does that make sense? Sometimes, I mean, you just get caught up. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's love. It could be sexual. Whatever it is, he wants to please his wife. That's a good man. And so they both made mistakes, Abram as well as Adam. But because it was so important for later times and later things to be accomplished, there are consequences that flow. In both instances, she suffered now, we as women. And Sarah suffered, even though they had a part in the disobedience or disruption with the relationship of God and the things that were supposed to be done, they had to survive the consequences of the man's disobedience in each instance. We are when we are in covenant relationships as helpmates, and that is what the woman is supposed to be, there is, and I believe, there is a conversation with God through the Holy Ghost that will reveal to the woman to come into agreement with what God has said. Because you expect outside third parties to disrupt the relationship, but you, any woman who is spirit-led will not allow her own flesh to disrupt what God has said and cause a pattern of consequences by speaking to a man or husband in a way that is contrary to what God has said. I mean, there's a lot to be said here. You see my tag. Sometimes I don't get back to my tags. But God's word is sure. And we should be careful to give the man in the covenant relationship of husband and wife and God at the center his authority. Allow him his authority. And I believe that's where the Jezebel spirit comes in and can come in to subject the man and subvert the man and his authority. There's a lot to that. I know there are those of you out there that might say, you know, that's old school. No, it's not, because it's the will of God. So it's not old school. It's not old fashioned. I'm an old fashioned person anyway. I'm really old fashioned. And I believe that the woman that is independent and that is in the body and following the things of God wants a strong man. There's no such thing. An independent woman wants a strong man. Strong how? With money? Not that. With how many weights they can lift? Not that. The strength that the woman that is independent wants is with a man that knows God and obeys God. And then she can survive when she abandons her full independent stance. And she's at, like me, I've had a full independent stance and status for so many years. So many years. So many years that it's natural to me. And that's another thing, and I'm going to get off of here. A woman that has been independent for a long time, it is so difficult to, you don't think of another. You're used to making decisions on your own. You don't think that way. And so it takes time for the woman, and maybe a man, even though men typically don't stay single long as women do, as long as women do. But for the independent woman that has served God and has been preserved by God, it's a process. It's a transition. And so that covenant partnership has to be anticipated, and she has to be prepared. And when she gets to the point where she realizes she can go no further until she has a husband, a mate, in covenant partnership, that she can only survive, then there's some work to be done at that instance. And so I'm going to revisit this next week. There's so much. I have so many notes and pages of notes on my computer, in writing, unreal. So I guess there's more to say. Well, thank you for listening to all of that. I'm happy that you sit there and listen. God has certainly given me a lot on this subject. I've lived it, I've experienced it, and I know it. So I look forward to speaking with you about it again next week. Thank you for listening to the broadcast this week. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders to listen to this episode again or to listen to any other episode on the show page here for Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. You may email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. Even though it's been hacked, I'm trying to get it back open. You can always reach me at my other email at bks1233@outlook.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a blessed evening, and talk to you next week. Walk by faith, not by sight. Then all your best.
But I came to tell you, all you gotta do is give it to the Lord. I don't care what you left your house or in your car with. If you learn how to pray, it said men ought to always pray and not faint. I dare you to get up on your feet and say, somebody, and you don't know what they've been going through. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus, woo, I'm about to have church right by myself. Is that all right? I want you to lift your voice and talk to the person next to you and guarantee them that